Hello and welcome back to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar O'Duchon. I'm now working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland. After a career of 30 years working as a GP, family doctor, both in Ireland and the UK. In this new show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and is growing in popularity worldwide. I'll explain about the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable teachings for how it can work in our modern life. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature as well as the wider world of nature around us. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts and discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. The show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is the original nature-based system which uses the foods we eat, simple herbal remedies, can be done at home, daily practices and lifestyle modifications or changes, as well as herbal-based medication to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and our lifestyle, effectively the way we live. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep and beyond, has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and well into the future. Ayurveda has stood the test of time for thousands of years, and I hope that by listening to this show and gaining some information about Ayurveda, we can both do the same. Without further ado, we should really get started. So today, I'll briefly outline what I'm going to cover. Part of it will be a recap of last week's show, of the basic principles of Ayurveda, how the five elements are manifested in each of us and the specific qualities that belong to each of these elements. I will review the doshas and how they influence our physical and our psychological makeup, our constitution, or what we call in Sanskrit Prakriti. I will discuss the doshas in a little more detail and where they're located within the body and their different roles and functions within the body. I will discuss what diet and lifestyle factors can cause these doshas to get out of balance. I will discuss the signs and symptoms of these dosha imbalances. I will discuss further the concept of our individual constitution or prakriti, and what are the factors that determine this, or in other words, what makes us unique. And a little bit, hopefully some time at the end, to cover the psychological components of prakriti and the qualities of mind according to Ayurveda. So, just briefly to recap, last week we discussed how Ayurveda's the theory of it and the concepts of it explain how the human body works in terms of the five elements that we're all made up of. And these are called the Panchamahabhutas, which is really a word for five elements. Pancha being five in Sanskrit. The three doshas, which are the biological forces that maintain and regulate the body and how it functions. The seven tissues of the bodies are layers of the bodies, which are called dhatus in Sanskrit, which comprise the plasma or the fluid which the nutrients circulate in the body, the blood, the skin, the fat tissue, the muscle layer, the bone marrow, and the sexual organs or sexual reproductive organs, both in the male and female. Also the three malas or waste products, which are your stool, your urine, and your sweat. And in addition, what's called the digestion in Sanskrit, which is our agni, which is the crucially important energy that we have that allows us to digest and metabolize and break down our food and our experiences to give us nourishment, both in body and mind. So, quite a lot of this Ayurvedic theory is really important to recap so that we understand, as I go along, how we view health from an Ayurvedic perspective, most particularly how we can identify cause, root causes of diseases and seek to address them as part of the treatment package. Ayurveda describes the impact of substances and energies on our body channels after the process of digestion occurs and how this affects the function of our organs. Ayurveda also says that various forms of matter that exist in the universe are made up of the five same elements. The substances we ingest, such as food and especially herbs and spices, these elements are manifested in this way, through the taste of the substance, the quality of the substance, the potency of the substance, and the after effect or the aftertaste that occurs sometimes after we eat during the process of the breaking down or metabolism of the food in order to provide the energy we need for life. Ayurveda explains life in terms of the physical body, the senses, the mind, and the soul. So they're like overlapping parts of our being that we understand in Ayurveda that make us up and it can have an influence upon our health and that are entirely interconnected. It understands that life is rooted in the laws of nature. One of the most important principles of Ayurveda is that we are affected by nature and natural phenomenon. We are, in our own bodies and minds, are what's called a microcosm. It's like a small version of the macrocosm, which is the world, the universe, and nature and everything beyond. So we're like a little prototype, or a small version, or a small manifestation of nature in our own selves. And that we're constantly affected by the larger nature of the cosmos, the universe, the nature, the seasons, the day, the night. Everything outside of us has an effect upon us. So the five Mahabhutas, or the five element theory, this proposes that we are interdependent and we are all the matter in the universe comes from these five elements of air, fire, earth, ether and water in various combinations. We define health as a state with the quantities and the qualities of these five basic elements are in perfect balance within each of us. So if you're too much of one, too much of the other, too little of one, too little of the other, then we're out of balance. Now, these are the basic building blocks of the universe, and they're basically what we're made up of. So if we're out of our natural constitution in how we're made up, then we're out of balance. According to this theory, the entire physical universe, including the human body, is made up of these five elements. Space is the first of these elements, and it's described in Ayurveda as the first expression of consciousness, and that space, without space, matter cannot exist. The main sense that's associated with space is the sense of sound. If you can imagine how unnerved we get when there is no sound. Even the sound of stillness can be, a stillness in the space can be slightly spooky and slightly strange because we always associate space with some form of sound. Non-resistance is its chief property. It's present in the hollow cavities or the hollow spaces in the body like the lungs, the sinuses, the bones, and also in the empty areas of the cosmos. We describe such things as black holes that exist in the cosmos out in the universe. Space transmits sound, and it's non-resistant to anything. It's frictionless, and it has specific qualities, which is described as smooth, subtle, soft and abundant. So any diet, food, herbs or lifestyle practices with similar properties will increase the space element in our body. For instance, I was listening on the radio today to the astronaut Chris Hadfield. He spent significant periods of time in space. And when astronauts do that, they lose their bone mass because too much space causes more space to occur within the spaces in their body. And this can cause problems with them developing fractures and such. Now, obviously, this is an extreme example, but for example, long-haul flights or frequent travelling long distances can increase the vata or the space or an air element within us. Now, air is the second of the elements, and the sense attributed to this is touch. Mobility is its chief property, and the qualities that are listed for air are that it's light, it's dry, subtle, mobile, transparent, and rough even. So, this quality of air is responsible for movement and increases dryness in the body. Any diet, exercise, food or lifestyle practices, again, which have similar properties will increase the air element in our body. So for instance, consuming too much light, dry or cold food, or excess consumption of such drinks as aerated fizzy drinks, will increase the air quality in our system. Fire is the most important element for our digestion. Heat is its chief property. The qualities are associated with fire are heat, sharpness, intensity, dryness and lightness. Once again, any food, exercise, herbs, specifically spices, pungent foods that increase the heat element in our body, even some drying foods, will increase the fire element. Water is the fourth element, and it is associated with the sense of taste. Fire is associated with the sense of vision, I forgot to mention earlier. Liquidity is the main property of water, and it's described with qualities of moistness, cohesiveness, stickiness, coolness, softness, and even oiliness. As before, any food, herbs, or lifestyle factors or experiences with the same qualities as these can increase the water element within us. And lastly, earth is associated with the sense of smell. It has roughness as its chief property, and its qualities are quite typical, as in solid, dense, stable, heavy, hard, dull and slow. So any food or exercise or herbs or lifestyle practice which have similar properties will increase the earth element within us. So for now, I'll take a short break and we'll move on to discussing the doses again in the next section. Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk. UK.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, welcome back. Having recapped on the five elements, it's time to recap on the doshas and the importance of the doshas in our makeup and how we can regulate, balance, and remain healthy. And when they're perfectly in balance within each of us, we're able to prevent illness and be resilient to developing disease. As explained before, there are three doshas. We describe them as a physical type of dosha, which are vata, pitta, and kapha, and a psychological type of dosha, which are sattva, rajas, and tamas. And they correlate and they are similar in some ways. So we describe them as interconnecting as we do now in the body and mind, as we understand them to be so closely connected, that they work in two different types of axes but work together, so that your physical and your psychological have an impact upon each other. The psychological doshas are sattva, being state of calmness and peace, rajas being a bit like pitta, where it's in constant motion, our minds are in constant motion and agitated, so to speak, and tamas, where we're the opposite entirely, where we're very lethargic and inert and not responding and becoming less mobile in our thinking. We're becoming very inert and very slow. So if we think of these two different types of doshas, shall we say, the physical and the psychological, they would correlate with the body and mind as we describe in Western medicine, but there's different features of each. Right? They work together as a kind of an integration and communication system within both the mind and body's systems to keep us functioning optimally. The most important of these systems are the neurological, endocrine, and immunological systems. These are the main systems which have kind of a foot in both our body and mind, so to speak. Our neurological system means our nervous system, basically our brain and our spinal cord, which is our central nervous system, and our peripheral nervous system, which is the rest of the body, or controls the rest of the body, arms, legs, and so on. Then the endocrine system is like a hormonal messenger system or communication system throughout our whole body and brain. Then we have the immunological system, which controls our resistance to infection and our resilience to preventing disease or getting ill. So whenever one of these doshas undergoes a change, the others can become deranged if the change is sufficient or large enough. Our body and mind are totally interlinked and entirely dependent on each other. Each one of these body and mind doshas has specific qualities and specific functions, and they need to be present in the body in the right amount and in the right of the right quality for us to maintain perfect balance and to remain in our best health. So the central concept of Ayurvedic medicine is this tridoshic theory, that the three doshas, these biological energies that I've described, govern all the processes of the body. The motor, the movement, the metabolic, the digestion, and the physiological, which is the circulation and the how the organs interact together. This doshic balance, when it's working perfectly well, determines our longevity at a cellular level and allows us to maintain what's called a homeostasis, or to remain within the same stable environment of our body, not becoming disordered or imbalanced or diseased. In other words, they keep the body environment just right. As I said before, everybody is a unique combination of all of these three doshas. I've discussed how Vata dosha is dominated by space and air, Pitta by fire and water, and Kapha by water and earth. These are determined at birth, and they change throughout a lifetime depending on various factors that I've discussed in the previous episode, to do with our age, the seasons, any stresses we're under, the type of diet we have, what amount of exercise we do, and the type of exercise we do, and so on. Each of these doshas has a specific place it likes to reside in the body, and this can tell us a little bit about its function. For instance, Vata, the space and air, resides mostly in the colon, where that's the large bowel, where the water is absorbed from the feces or the stool before it's finally excreted. So it's also present in the pelvic area and in the organ of skin. Pitta, or the fire element, is mainly the small intestine, the stomach, the blood system, the eyes and the skin, as well as the sweat glands. Kapha, which is the earth and water element, present in the chest, in our throat and our head, in all our joints and in the plasma, or the water part, water-based part of our body. Vata is the master dosha, and it governs all functions in the body, as it's mainly connected with transport and movement within the body. It also is responsible for the coordination of our body and mind for us to remain stable. Pitta is in control of digestion and metabolism, and any transformational actions in the body, or things that involve changes within the body. And Kapha is responsible for the anabolism, which is a word we just use to describe the building up of our body, which gives us stability and strength. So anything that causes us to put on weight is a Kapha type of function, shall we say. It's also very important in terms of the lubrication of the body tissues, particularly the bones and within the channels and the vessels of the body. And this is also important for nutrients and nourishments to flow smoothly and freely to different parts of the body, so they're not there's no blocks in the system. Each dosha has a particular qualities. Vata is dry, light, cold, rough, subtle and mobile, which is very similar to the air and space element I discussed earlier on. Pitta is oily, sharp, hot, light, liquid, pungent, which is like kind of smelly or kind of strong smelling. All of these are typical of the fire and even the water element to a lesser extent. And Kapha, the qualities it has is wetness, coldness, heaviness, dullness, stickiness, a softness, density, and static or stable, a stability. So very much like the earth and water, if you mix them together, they give you these qualities. The doshas have sub-doshas of their own, of which there are five each. They are mainly to do with the main roles of each of the doshas. So the Vata dosha particularly is associated with movement and different types of movement in the body. Movements up, movements around and movements down. Particularly movements down, which is to do with excretion of the stool and of the urine. Pitta is to do with digestion. A lot of the doshas or the different parts of Pitta are to do digestion, to do with the liver, spleen, pancreas and small intestine and stomach, as well as the blood, which gives us the colour of our skin. So often if you say somebody is low in Pitta, they may have a pale coloured skin. Or if they're high in Pitta, they can often have a very red and ruddy complexion because of the effect it has upon the blood. Now, and Kapha, once again, think about the qualities we talked about. Think about the two different elements that make up Kapha. It's to do with the fluid aspects of, say, secreting mucus or taste in the tongue, and lubrication of the joints with the types of fluid we need in the joints, synovial fluid, to allow the joints to move without pain and discomfort. So If there's too much fluid, of course, in cafe, you can have other problems associated with weight gain and what's called fluid retention or swellings in parts of the body. So that's just a brief run through of the doshas and how they can, the elements which make up the doshas are related to the functions and roles of the doshas within the body. So it's quite a lot to take in. I do appreciate that. But if we keep the basic principles of remembering that we're made up of the elements are manifested, are expressed in us through the doshas in different combinations in each of us, depending on our natural constitution, both from a physical point of view particularly, but also from a psychological point of view, which I'll come to a little bit later. And all of these interconnect together to create the expression of us, are what we're like at that current moment in time. And if our expression is very different from our natural constitution, so to speak, if our current state is very different from our natural constitution, we could be described as being out of balance. And by being thus out of balance, we leave ourselves open to becoming unwell or becoming ill or developing an illness, which if we were perfectly balanced, we'd most likely not suffer from at all. And this is the recurring concept within Ayurveda, to seek to find where the imbalance is and use the imbalance is to explain how the illness and disease came about. And then try to redress the imbalance by addressing the factors that led to it in the first place. Okay, a lot to, once again, take in and understand. And I'll break for a short few minutes so we can move on to the factors and the lifestyle and diet factors that can influence or make the doshas go out of balance. See you very shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, welcome back. So, now it's time to discuss the diet and lifestyle factors that cause the doshas to get out of balance. I mentioned last week about the tastes, and it's worth, you know, brief recap about them again, that there are six tastes, where they are sweet, sour and salty, pungent, bitter and astringent. Now, Vata dosha is made worse by pungent, bitter and astringent, and it's relieved or pacified, are balanced by sweet, sour and salty. Kapha dosha, on the other hand, is the opposite. Kapha is made worse or increased by sweet, sour and salty. and it's balanced or pacified by this taste of pungent, bitter and astringent. Pitta is somewhere in the middle in that it's made worse by salty, sour and pungent, all tastes which will make us feel hot in our system. And it's balanced by sweet, bitter and astringent. So bear those in mind, particularly when it comes to diet. So vata is exacerbated or made worse by bitter, astringent and pungent tastes. Overconsumption of cold, dry and light food, for instance lettuce, or specific forms of vegetables that are light like broccoli or celery. And over consumption of certain types of drinks. I mentioned fizzy, aerated drinks. Too much caffeine, which is a stimulant, can cause vata to be increased within us. Eating foods at the wrong time, not having a routine to our meal times, and fasting. And suppression of natural urges, particularly to do with downward motion in our body. So if we don't go to the toilet at times we feel like going, that can cause a build-up in vata within our system. Late bedtimes, loud noises and conversation, too much physical exercise involving excess movement, and then frequent travel can cause it as well, as well as particular seasons such as autumn. Pitta, if we remember, is made worse by salty, pungent and sour taste. Unfortunately, alcohol does make pitta worse. It makes us feel hot. You know that if you the effect of alcohol is that it dilates your vessels, so you don't feel the cold as much. It is used in the Far East as in the cold climates such as Siberia. Vodka is a very popular drink there because it keeps people warm. So hot, spicy, oily, fried foods as well, of course. Too much sorrow, too much anger. So emotions that are at the end of the spectrum are excessive. Also reduced intake of food, lack of sleep, overexposure to sun and heat can make pitta worse. Kapha, the earth and water dosha, as I explained, is made worse by sweet, sour and salty foods. Overconsumptions of oily food, cold food, heavy, sweet and sticky food, a sedentary lifestyle, too much sleeping during the day, excessive intake of meat and milk and dairy, and overeating. If a dosha has increased due to any of these factors, if it's increased, it can continue to such an extent that it accumulates, and this causes aggravation within the tissues and within the doshas where the doshas generally reside. So often if the dosha is imbalanced, you'll notice it more where the dosha tends to reside. Stomach for the pitta, large intestine and nervous system for vata, and in kapha the chest and often the joints and the skin as well. The skin can be affected by each of the doshas in different ways. So, in other words, if this continues on, we can develop a disease which is called the manifestation, or when the disease becomes established, and it can be a little bit more difficult to look back at that time to see where the initial causes were. Doshas can also be depleted or less than what they should be, and they will cause opposite symptoms to what it would be like if they were increased, of course. And also there's another problem that can occur with doshas, that the quality of the dosha may not be sufficient, so there might be a poor quality of a dosha within your system as well, which can cause separate problems. So to recap, our doshas can be affected in different ways by different lifestyle, different diet, different experiences, different emotions, and they all interact together, both on our body and mind, to affect our state of balance. Briefly, I to explain the signs and symptoms. If you have too much of that in your system, you can become excessively dry in your skin. You can feel cold. You can develop constipation. You can become very restless. You can develop problems with your voice. If you're decreased, you have the opposite symptoms, more like an increased kapha situation where you're very slow, your speech slows, you become very sedentary, you can even shut down entirely if it's very severe. With pitta, you get heat-related problems. If it's increased, you can get problems with your painful sore eyes. Skin can be hot and you develop rashes. You can have problems in your gut with reflux and heartburn and indigestion. You can have a cold intolerance, so that you desire cold conditions because you're feeling so hot, and your appetite can be increased in ways that you can't understand. And if you have an increase in your kapha dosha within your system, you get symptoms of too much. You can be excessively salivating, so there's too much spit in your mouth. You can develop, you can be lazy. You can develop heaviness in your system. You can feel cold when it's not so cold around you. You can develop weakness in your joints, excessive sleepiness, and chest symptoms with cough and breathlessness that are difficult to explain from any other cause can be also a symptom of increased kapha. So we need to understand all of these doshas, their roles, their functions, where they're most prominent in the body, to understand the symptoms and signs we develop from an increase or decrease of each of the doshas, which makes us imbalanced. Once again, health and disease are a direct reflection of the imbalance of the doshas in the body and mind. We aim in Ayurveda to prescribe a proper diet, an exercise that's suitable for you, and a harmonious, happy, healthy lifestyle to promote balance amongst the doshas for your particular constitution. So restoring and maintaining the proper balance of these doshas in relation to their quantity and also their quality and the functions that they have in the body are absolutely critical for us to return to optimum health and maintain wellness for our own and unique constitution. So I'll finish quickly with about a short little piece about the qualities of the mind in Ayurveda. And they kind of mirror the qualities of the body or how the doshas are distributed within the body. So that we have Vata, Pitta and Kapha as three types of our physical constitution. In the mind, we describe Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. However, we mainly experience only just Rajas and Tamas, which is the qualities of agitation and the qualities of lethargy or demotivation. And we fluctuate between these two throughout our lives and in our minds. We are trying to reach the sattvic state or the state of peace of mind, or where we're calm and where we're most ourselves, we're most focused, we're most experiencing that bliss or that peacefulness. However, the reality of life is that we don't often reach that, and we must practice and strive and try and develop habits in order to try and get to that stage. Now, there's quite a lot in this to discuss. I'll cover it again in future episodes, but enough to say for now that I'm very grateful for you having listened to me. I do appreciate it might be a little of a jumble from time to time. There's quite a lot to take in. However, it's worth repeating the episodes and trying to get a handle around it, the concepts and the principles behind what Ayurveda is about and how it views the human body and how it views the best way to maintain health. Now, next week I'll have a kind of a bonus episode where you can kick back and relax and not have to concentrate so much, because I'll discuss the history of spices and herbs as they relate to Ayurveda and how Ayurveda has used spices in the past and how we've all had to use spices and how important they've been in our history. And I'll go through a number of different spices and describe the different health benefits you can get from taking them either in food or in remedies. And that'll be a fun episode, and I hope you join me to learn more about spices and herbs and how they can affect our doshas and how they can affect our balance and how we can use them in the right amounts to maintain health and keep well and maintain balance. Once again, I'll refer you to my website, Anam, A-N-A-M, M for mother, Ayurveda, A-U-R-A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-A, Anam, Ayurveda, Anam being the Irish word for soul. I wish you all a great week, and as we say in Irish, once again, a Croí Fhuilán, fad saol. So healthy heart and long life. God bless and see you next week.